If you've been with us during the month of December, you will know that we're taking the one text through this month at the services, and we're coming to Isaiah and the chapter 9 and verse 6, where we have the great prophetic titles of Christ. And in this text we have five wonderful titles given as the prophet speaks about the one who would come 700 years later in the incarnation, the birth of Christ. He speaks about Jesus here. Let us read the text, just the sixth verse of Isaiah 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In our studies, we've drawn attention to the fact that there are something like 200 plus names and titles attributed to Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, the Old Testament and the New. We mentioned the name, the Word of God. That's one of the titles given to Christ. He is the Word of God. He's the living Word, and in a very real sense, we can say He is the written Word, because He has given to us the Bible. We have a glimpse of this right at the beginning of time, whenever God spoke this world into existence. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells us that God said, and it was the Word that was speaking. It was the voice of God, and the voice, we believe, of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as He called creation into being. The Bible says that He spake and it was done. Whatever He commanded, it stood fast. And all things were created by Him. And so right there from the beginning, we see this glimpse of the Lord Jesus in one of the great titles, the Word of God. As we come towards the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, we have that great title of Christ where He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. And then in between, we have all the other titles. And so we have these 200 plus titles that set forth Jesus in all His glory and in all His perfections. We have to put them together in order to get a view of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And as you know, Isaiah himself foretold of many of the names that Christ would be known by. He's the Branch, He's Emmanuel, He is a stone of stumbling, He's a rock of offense, He is a tried stone, He's a precious cornerstone, He is a sure foundation, He's the Judge, the Lawgiver, the King. The Father called Him My Servant and called Him Mine Elect, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel. He's the Man of Sorrows, He's the Leader and Commander. All these things Isaiah spoke about. And not least, the five titles that are given in our text. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, last Lord's Day, at both of the services, we took the first title. We thought about Jesus being called Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. And we meditated upon Christ, our wonderful Lord. Wonderful in His identification. The fact that He's eternal and the fact that He's God. Wonderful in His incarnation. He that was God was made man. True humanity was given to Christ. He took upon Himself our humanity. Wonderful in His perfection, and we notice something of the sinless character of Christ. Wonderful in His subjection, in His submission. He submitted Himself to the Father's will. And you know how that entailed all the abuse and all the persecution and all the suffering that He had to go through when He was here upon the earth. Wonderful in His crucifixion. We thought of Christ crucified for our sins. Wonderful in His resurrection. He's the living Savior, and up from the grave He arose. Wonderful in His ascension as the disciples with amazement watched the Lord taken up from their midst there on Mount Olivet and received into heaven by a cloud. And we said also, wonderful in His revelation. He's going to be revealed one day. Revealed in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. at his glorious personal coming again. Now we come this evening to think about him as Counselor in this message. His name shall be called Counselor. Now sometimes there are those who put the two titles together and they will call him the Wonderful Counselor. And although that is true, I have to say tonight that the word Counselor stands by itself. It is expressing something that is very distinct in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of his wonderful qualities and attributes. The word in the Hebrew, so translated, refers to a person of honorable rank, one who is eminently qualified to advise or to counsel, one who is fitted to stand near princes and kings as their advisor. The manner in which it is used here expresses that there is one who is of great wisdom and highly qualified to guide and direct the human race. His name is Jesus. There is an old translation which translates the term here, the term counselor, as this: the angel of the mighty council. I just want to remind you that there is a mighty council, one that has sat from eternal ages, known as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the angel of that council, or the messenger, because the word angel means messenger, of this mighty council is none other than the second person of the triune God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is God's only Son, and he who speaks to men on God's behalf. And so we see him here as the prophet. He's fulfilling one of the great offices that was given to him. He's the prophet, he's the priest, and he is the king. He's God's messenger, he's God's mouthpiece, he's God's ambassador. He is God's prophet to a poor world of fallen humanity. He is the mighty counselor. He is most suitably qualified for this office because he's God. Because he's man, he's related to us. Because he is wisdom personified. Because he is truth and love incarnate. He is the one who feels for us. The Bible talks about the Lord feeling for his people. He is the one who is able to enter into our very thoughts. He is the one who possesses all compassion, all power, and all knowledge. And as God, he knows all about us. Isn't that amazing? He knows the minutest detail. Nothing escapes his attention. All that we go through, every burden that we carry, every trouble that we encounter, all the joys and the sorrows of life are known to this counselor because he's God. Never forget that he is God and he's the Savior, the blessed Savior who knows everything. And then as man, he sympathizes with us. He enters into our thoughts and feelings. He understands our sorrows. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, we value the counsel of a friend, don't we? How often we have resorted to those that we can count as true friends. They can be trusted. We know that they love us. They are concerned for our well-being. And in times of need, we have gone to them and we have simply poured out our heart to them. Well, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No matter what friends we have in this life, here's the greatest friend of all. We can run to him. We can seek his counsel. We can ask for his advice. We take counsel of him who is immortal, invisible, God only wise. We draw up near to his word because that's how God speaks to us. You want to know how God speaks? We have to say tonight, primarily, it's through this book, the Scriptures. The Bible is the revelation of the mind of God. We spread our difficulties at the feet of this counselor as we draw near to him in prayer, and then we wait upon him to answer, particularly through his word. And that is where true counsel and advice comes, when we listen with an honest heart. I have no problem with listening to good and sound advice of dear family and friends, and I've often sought their counsel. But preeminently, the mind of God is made known when we meet the great counselor, Jesus Christ, in his word. A preacher by the name of Josiah Bateman pointed out, inconsistency arises from listening to contradictory advisors, sometimes going to Christ and sometimes taking counsel with flesh and blood. The same preacher seeking to make a point about our conformity and likeness to Christ, he said, you will learn to love what he loves and to desire what he promises. In the man who continually makes Christ his counselor, there is begotten a spirituality of mind, a deadness to the world, a fixedness of purpose, a cheerfulness of temper, a self-possession and patience which are scarcely conceivable and quite invaluable. A man is powerfully influenced by the company he keeps. And of course, we know that, and we have seen that over and over again. The great advice from this second title is simply this: keep company with Christ. Draw near to him. Listen to him. In his word, there is counsel for you. There is instruction for you. No matter who you are in this service tonight, no matter what family you come from, no matter what your background is, in any way, there is a word from God through this counselor for you. But you know, as you come to the Bible and you read the Bible, and all the Bible is inspired and all the Bible is the word of God, and in a very real sense, we have to say, because Christ is not only the living word, he's the written word, that all these words come from Christ. There's something very special and very unique about the actual words that he spoke. The words that he spoke, particularly when he was here upon the earth. And those are the words that you will find in the Gospels. And I commend them to you. And I want to say to God's people, just as we pass and we come towards the end of this service, that the Lord has a word for you. He has a word for the serving saint. You're a child of God in this meeting. You're seeking to serve the Lord. The Lord has a word for you. What would he say to you tonight in his word? What would he counsel you? He would remind you, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, as he sends us forth as his people, as his representatives into the world to preach the glorious gospel. There's a word for the suffering saint. You know, Jesus told us that in this world, we're going to have tribulation. Have you tribulation? I'm sure you have. Nobody escapes it. Jesus didn't say that you might have it. There's no maybe, there's no perhaps here. He says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And if you're suffering tonight, Jesus would say to you, be of good cheer. Like he said on another occasion, it is I in the midst of the storm. I am with you. He has a word for the sorrowing saint. And we have had loved ones taken from our sides even in the past year. As we look back over the 12 months of 2016, loved ones have been taken. But the Lord says in his word, as he counsels us, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And he has a word of comfort to pass on to you and I. There's a word for the supplicating saint, those that are engaged in prayer. He wants to give you his promises. He wants to remind you, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There's a word for the slothful saint. Maybe you haven't been about the business of the Lord in recent days. Maybe you have not been serving him the way that you ought. He says, son, go work today in my vineyard. Or maybe you haven't been engaged in prayer the way that you should. The Lord would remind you, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, there's a word in every situation of life for the believing people of God. Read the Gospels. Hear the counsel that he gives. Hear the Lord speak and understand the message that he brings. There's a word in season. And of course, much of what he wants us to know is found in two momentous occasions. I was just thinking about this as I was preparing the message. Just before he went to the cross, that was a very powerful time. Jesus is going to die. He's going to suffer. He's got the inner circle together. He's got his beloved disciples together. And he has very important things to tell them. Now, I haven't time to go into those details, but I commend to you John 14, 15, and 16. Read them. They are important words, counsel from Christ. Then just before he went into heaven, he's going to leave the world. He's going to leave his church on earth as far as his physical presence is concerned. And you want to mark what the Lord had to say to his church in those days. These are sermons in themselves, or a series of sermons in themselves. So he has a word for you, God's people, tonight. He's the counselor. But just as we close the service, I want to say this, that Jesus Christ, the great counselor, has a word if you're out of Christ. If you're not saved tonight, if you're a soul in this service and you know not the Redeemer, you know not Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, Jesus has a word for you. And what is he saying? This one who is the great counselor, what is he saying to you? What would he counsel you? And I'm just going to rattle off very, very quickly what the Lord would say to you tonight. First of all, as he comes to those who are not saved, he would say to you, you are undone and you are sinful. Jesus wants you to know that you're lost. He spoke about the lost, referring to the unconverted. He reminded the people of his day that he had come to speak to sinners and to call sinners to repentance. And my friends, you can never be saved until you come to that place where you see yourself as God sees you, a sinner in his sight. Jesus wants you to know about your sin. Secondly, Jesus would counsel you and he would say, you cannot save yourself. Nothing you can do to merit salvation. There's nothing that you can do to get to heaven. People are trying all kinds of things, but Jesus would say, there's nothing you can do. You remember that line where he said, and it's in that passage of Scripture that I've already mentioned in John 14, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus was speaking about heaven. He was speaking about his Father's house, the place of the many mansions, and he was counseling that day in very serious terms, and he was reminding his disciples, these disciples that would go into the world to preach the gospel, that nobody can get to the Father who is in heaven except by him. Religion will not save you, no matter what religion it is that you adhere to. Church attendance will not save you. It's good to come to the house of God, and the Bible speaks about that. But coming to the Lord's house will never save a single soul. Religious activity will not save you. Reading your Bible, praying, these kind of things that are proper and good in their place, they will never bring salvation. Or being charitable and giving to causes that you feel are worthy to give to, those things will never bring eternal life. Jesus wants you to know that heaven is not attainable by yourself. You can't get to the Father but by Christ. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know your sin. He wants you to know that there's nothing you can do to bring salvation to yourself. Thirdly, he wants you to know that you must be saved in order to escape the wrath of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There needs to be the experience of the new birth. You need salvation. The Lord said in his word, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Christ came forth into this world to deliver men from their sins, to save them from hell's destruction. And I'm sure tonight you've heard of the word mercy. That's what the Lord came to bestow upon sinners. The mercy of God. And what is the mercy of God? The mercy of God in Christ, as far as salvation is concerned, is that by which he turns away the anger of God towards sinners. And he does so by the means of a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was himself upon the cross of Calvary. Jesus wants you to know that. This great counselor, this is his advice to you. You're a sinner. You can't save yourself. You must be saved to escape God's wrath. He wants you to know also, I am coming again. There is the day in which the Lord will come to this world in power. In that same chapter of John's Gospel, chapter 14, he spoke to his disciples who were downhearted and somewhat dismayed because he was taking his leave from them. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Dear friends, tonight Jesus is coming again. In that memorable sermon that he preached in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, he said, and this is his counsel to you about his second coming. He spoke about the day when the Son of Man would come with power and great glory. Jesus is coming again. And he wants you to know about that day. A dark day. A day of separation. A day when the godly will be separated from the ungodly. A day when those who know Christ will be separated forever from those who know not the Lord. And you read that sermon that he preached on the second coming in Matthew 24 and 25. And it's all about separation. An awful day of separation. If you're not ready, you're going to be separated for all of God's eternity from those who know Christ and from Christ himself. Jesus wants you to know this. The great counselor also wants you to know that there is a fearful judgment day. He said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus said, the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And what can we say about the sermon that he preached in Luke 16? That fearful sermon that's all about hell. And that man that he speaks of who is there, engulfed in the fires of a lost eternity, who lifts up his voice in torments and he's crying out. He's in hell, engulfed by the fires of hell, and he's in torments. And this is the words of Christ. This is the great counselor speaking. And Jesus wants you to know that there is this wrath to come, that there is an awful judgment who awaits those who die in their sin in the place that is called hell. He wants you to know that there are those who will one day say, as they come to the doors of heaven that are closed to them, Lord, Lord, open to me. But they're not ready, you see. And they're not prepared. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. I want you to know these things. This is the counsel of the great counselor. He wants you to know that he is the only Savior. He would say to you tonight, I am the only Savior. I am come that you might have life, he said, and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is only one door. There is only one Savior. There is only one way of salvation. Jesus has been to the cross. We think about the Lord coming into the world at this time of the year. We think about his glorious incarnation. We think about the babe that was born at Bethlehem. But my friends, that babe grew up, went through life, went through the experiences of our humanity. He lived a perfect life on our behalf. But at the conclusion of his ministry, Jesus went to the cross. He was born to die. He gave his life that you and I might be saved from our sin. And Jesus says tonight, I am the only Savior. And then finally, he would say to you as he gives his counsel, I invite you. I invite you to partake of this salvation. Think of how many times in his sermons Jesus used the word come. It's the word of invitation, isn't it? Some people maybe say to you about this meeting, come, Come to the carol service. Come on Sunday night. I'll come round and pick you up, but come to the meeting. And my friends, Jesus invites you to salvation. And he says to you, concerning the great feast of the gospel that has been provided, he says, come, for all things are now ready. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there someone tonight, and you're weak and heavy laden? You feel the burden of your sin? Jesus says, come unto me. It's his advice. It is his counsel. Christ has shown his infinite willingness to receive sinful man. But you must come. You must obey his call. And he's calling tonight at this carol service. He's calling to you. You that are in this meeting, wherever you are sitting in this gospel service tonight, this is the great counselor. His name shall be called Counselor. And these are the things that he said. This is his counsel to the sinner. And he wants you to receive him. He wants you to come to him. And those that are listening in on sermon audio, if you're not a Christian, Jesus wants you to come. Will you not come? Will you not at this Christmas time receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Matter is in your court tonight. You must respond to the call of Christ. These are the things that he has said. Will you come? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for a conscious sense of the Lord's presence and nearness tonight in this service. Thank thee for giving help to those who participated in the songs that were sung and the reading of the scriptures. Thank thee, Lord, for every reminder that there is one who came from the heights of glory. There's one who condescended into the very womb of Mary, who was born in our likeness, to come into this world for one purpose, to be the Savior of men. Lord, we thank thee for Jesus Christ, this wonderful Savior, he that is the great counselor. And Lord, you've got a message for us in this book. It's your mind. It is what God wants us to know. Everything that we need to know about God, everything that we need to know about ourselves, everything we need to know about the future, everything we need to know about eternity, everything we need to know about salvation. It's all in this book. Oh God, we thank thee for such a mighty revelation as this. And Jesus has been counseling us. He's been drawing up beside us tonight. He's been speaking to men and women and young people in this service. And Lord, there are some, and they're coming towards the end of this year, and still they're not saved. Lord, step into their lives tonight. Bring them to Christ, we pray. Don't let them leave another gospel service rejecting so great salvation, neglecting so great salvation. But Lord, may they come at the invitation of the Savior who bids them to do just that, for Jesus' sake. Amen.